Starting now, Perek Yud Beis. So, we are now, interestingly, we are continuing the issue that we started to talk about with the menorah, and we just mentioned it in passing. Now we're going to dedicate ourselves to understand what exactly is the din when you have something that would be an ohel, but it's being supported by a kli. So, we said before that in the case of the menorah, even something that would be considered an ohel if it wouldn't have been for the fact that its support is a kli, it then becomes non-ohel and it becomes transparent to tuma. And again, as we mentioned, it does not matter whether it's mekabel tuma as a kli, not mekabel tuma as a kli, whether it's currently tumei or tahar, it matters only that it is a kli. So if it is a kli and it's supporting an ohel, that ohel is no longer able to be chotzet b'fnei hatuma. So let's move to a case which was our favorite in Kalim, and that is a tanur. So a tanur that's made out of cheres. Now remember, the tanur made out of cheres is only mekabel tuma after it's been heated. And we talked about what level heat it needed to be that first time, and the sufganiyot that you have to make in it, and so on and so forth. What we're going to refer to over here as a non-preheated tanur is called a tanur chadash. And if it's non-preheated, then that means that it never actually got the din of a kli, which would mean that legabe these halachas, it would not be relevant. If it's already been heated, then it's called a tanur yashan. That's the only point of chadash and yashan. It's a very idiosyncratic terminology that we're using, legabe this halacha vis-a-vis supporting an ohel. So now, the halacha therefore would be that if you take a board, now a board is a perfectly good ohel. It's not a kli. So you just take a flat board and you put it on top of a new tanur. Remember, a new tanur means that it is not a kli because it hasn't been fired up, and therefore forget about what it looks like. It is simply not going to make a problem for us, and therefore it does not take away the ability of this board to be chaitzis b'fnei atumah. And now this board extends around the tanur for a tefach. So that means that this board has created a tefach all around the top of the tanur, and this tanur has not affected its halacha vis-a-vis its ability to be chaitzitz b'fnei hatumah or to be mevi as hatumah. So now the question is, if you've got tumah, let's say if it's kizayas min ames underneath part of that overhang, which is now an overhang all around. Basically, what you've got over here is a tabletop that is supported by a tanur in the middle, right? And if there's tumah that is underneath some area, any kalim that are on top of the table are considered to be actually mugan mifnei hatumah, because this is a perfectly good board, and it is not a kli, and it is not supported by a kli, and it is not really a table, which is not a good terminology, and therefore you're looking at things that are on top of an ohel, and the tumah is under the ohel, and therefore the ohel is chotzes b'fnei hatumah, and any kalim that you put on top of it, I don't care if they're right on top of the mace, makes no difference. The tumah cannot penetrate through this mechitza. Kalim shagabav tahorin, in vice versa, if you put tumah on top of it, remember that an ohel is mafsik in any direction. So that would mean that even though normally tumah would radiate up and down, over here there is a ohel ames, there's an ohel underneath it, and that ohel prevents the tumah from radiating downwards. And therefore anything that's under this board is also going to be tahor, because this new tanur is not considered to be a kli. But if we're talking about an old tanur, uviyashan, so if the board is on top of an oven which is considered to be a kli, and there's a mechitza that is made by it, it won't help, because even though it's covered by this board, since it's supported by an old oven which has the din of a kli, so then the board no longer serves as a chaitzitz b'fnei atumah. This is, would be an extension of the halacha that we learned before about the menorah that was sticking up. And therefore, even though lamaisa, you have what looks to be exactly the same case, the halacha is that it does not prevent the tuma, since it's an old oven, and because of that, it's tame. And as a matter of fact, even the oven will become tame, because what's going to prevent the tuma from getting into the oven? It's not a tzomit pasil, is it? It's not connected as a tzomit pasil. It isn't glued onto the top of the oven. So because of that, it has to function as an ohel. But since it's supported by the oven, it cannot function as an ohel even for that. So what happens? Basically, the tuma will be all around under this board. Even the inside of the tanur is under the board. So then that would mean that wherever we have tumah anywhere, even by the sides, the board is going to stop being a board for chaytis b'fnei atumah, but it will have the din of the kli that it's able to be mevi the tumah. And therefore, crazy, it's going to actually be mevi the tumah to the tanur itself. Whoa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, wait a minute. Even if the tanur is an old tanur, it doesn't matter. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says the halacha that a tanur is mitame is not a din in kelim. It's a gzeres hakosov. Remember, we spoke about this possibility back in Masechet Kelim. One of the rules of kelim of klicheres is that a klicheres is not mekabel tuma unless it has a beit kibul. Now, a tanur is designed in such a way that it does not have a beit kibul. It's basically a tube that comes up at an angle on top to a smaller mouth. But it's a tube. You can't put anything in it. It'll just fall right out the bottom. The only way that the tanur works is you put it on the ground, and the ground provides the surface on which things won't fall out of it. But how does the ground make it a kli, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So the fact that the Torah says that this particular construct is mekabel tuma is not a change in the din of kelim, it's a din in the change of tuma. And therefore, why would we say that something supported by an oven, even if that oven is mekabel tuma, it is not a function of kabbalah's tuma, as we've said many times. It's because even where we were talking about something that was too big to be mekabel tuma, nonetheless, if it had a din of a kli, it would prevent the oyel from being considered an oyel. Not because it's mekabel tuma, but because it's a kli. So over here, you have exactly the opposite case. You have something that is mekabel tuma, but is not a kli. We're used to the idea of something that is a kli, but is not mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has introduced a completely new idea. So that means that this board is being supported by a non-kli. And since it's supported by a non-kli, therefore, there's no problem here whatsoever. It's very true that the oven can become tame, but it certainly is not going to become tame in this case because there's an oil on it that's protecting it. And the board on top of it is a perfectly good oil. And therefore, there's no difference between the old one and the new one. Now, let's talk about a case where you've got two tanurim, and you've got one on one side and one on the other side. Now, this is a very, very problematic piece of Mishnah. All the Mefarshim have different approaches to it. Almost none of them make any sense. It's just very serious problems with all of the approaches. Let's take it kipshute and see what it is that the problems are, and then hopefully we'll have time tomorrow, I guess, only to get to the various approaches of how we could possibly learn it. So let's imagine we have two ovens. Okay, the simple meaning is we have two of the above ovens. Now, obviously, that does not have to be the case that it's talking about where it's on top of two old ovens, right? Could be talking about it's on top of two new ovens. It could be talking about it's on top of one old oven and one new oven. All of these are possibilities in understanding the mission. We have to try to understand what nafkamina it would make. And in this case, this board also, it's going over the ovens, and it's still on all sides of the oven. So it's extending as our so-called countertop, our tabletop, our island in the kitchen, this is pretty common. You've got an oven underneath an island, right? So that's basically what this is, a nice design. As a matter of fact, you got a Fleischig oven and a Milchig oven underneath this countertop. So what happens then? So if there's tumah between the two ovens, so then the ovens become tumah, and obviously so would any kalim, top, bottom, whatever, because since it's being held up by ovens, it can't block the tumah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, it's metayer. Now, if we understand the Mishnah that way, then it's a little bit ridiculous. What's the difference if it's one oven or two ovens? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim need to argue if it's one oven or two ovens? I mean, it's exactly the same principles, and the Mishnah is just repeating itself for no possible reason. Let's just remind you, we said over there that if you have something that was supported by a kli, and we made the difference between an old tanur and a new tanur. That is to say, an old tanur was a heated tanur that was already considered to be a kli b'kabel tumah, and a new tanur means it was still clay, essentially. It had never been really baked properly, and therefore was not makabel tumah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had said that the din is that everything in that case is considered to be shielded by the oil, even though it is being supported by a tanur, and even though it's tanur that is already mekabel tumah because it was an old tanur, nonetheless, insists Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that the halacha is, it's still a good oil. And the piece of wood, despite being held up by a tanur, is still able to be chetzitz b'fnei atumah. Now, the question is, why in the world that would be true? So there are two completely different approaches to how to understand this Mishnah. The Gruz approach, which is not only his approach, but I mean, he's the definitive one who sticks it into the Mishnah here and insists that that's the way to understand it because he has a different girsa in the Tosefta that says otherwise, as I'll explain in a moment. So according to the Gruz, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying what we said yesterday, the last time that we learned this, namely, that just because a tanur is makabel tumah does not mean that the tanur has a din of a kli. And since it's a given that a kli cheres has to be a beit kibul supplied kli cheres in order to be makabel tumah, it's obviously not a kli. So why is it makabel tumah? It's makabel tumah because of gzirat hakatuv. There is a new type of thing that's a makabel tumah, either kalim of kli cheres or a tanur of kli cheres, which is not a kli. Since the only problem of ruining the ohel through support is the support of a kli, not the support of something that's a makabel tumah, that's not the issue. So as we pointed out before, we have cases of things that are kalim and are not makabel tumah, let's say a kli eitz that is a hotza taim and so on, right? And we have the opposite case. We have cases of things that are makabel tumah that aren't kalim. Remarkable. This extends our understanding of the interrelationship of the dinim of Kabbalah Satumah and Kli and how the Kli relates to the oil. Now, that is the way that the Gra understood Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, if at the end of the Mishnah, all that it says is, and if you've got two tanurim and you put it on top of two tanurim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is also metaher. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, it's not one new piece of information in the end of the Mishnah. That was the problem. Now, let's recognize that there's a completely different approach to what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying. Because the girsa that we have in the Tosefta is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is metaher et hatanur. He's not metaher anything else. He only says that the tanur is tahar. What does that mean? So what that means is that where you've got something that is sticking out to the side of a tanur on one side and sticking out on the other side, that was the first part of the Mishnah, that we do not view this board that is on top of the tanur as being one board that is a solid ohel, starting from the end of the right side to the end of the left side with the tanur in the middle, and therefore the tanur itself being makabel tumah because of the kezias of the mace that is on the right side or the left side. That's all that he's saying. The fact that the tanur is in the middle means we're talking about different oilot. There's an oil up to the tanur. There's an oil on the other side of the tanur, and there's an oil over the tanur. And the fact that there's a kezayit min hamet under one of these three oalim is not going to bring tuma to the other. That's all that he was saying. In which case, anything else that would be under it would have the same problem. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, would have the same problem of it's being supported by something that is a kli. And he never said it's not a kli. It's a, something that's mekabel tuma. It's mekabel tuma. So the only addition over there is the end of the Mishnah is talking about, according to, at least according to some who utilize the Rambams, because the Rambam is very difficult to understand. And the way the Rambam understands it is apparently like this. If you have a board that extends all around the tanur, and it's not just going out in one direction, it's completely blocked by the tanur in the middle. So if you have something that goes all the way around, then it's not blocked. And then the fact that the oil extends in all directions over that oven, that means that it is actually one oil, which covers the entire area, including the oven. The part that is added by the closing of the Mishnah in the Seifa is, first of all, a very interesting and beautiful point, namely that if there would be two tanurim, this is the way the Gra understands it, two tanurim don't mean any old two tanurim. Two tanurim mean the above-mentioned two tanurim. That is, one is new and one is old. So if you've got the two tanurim, which means that you are only partially, according to the Tanakhama, you're only partially supporting the ohel with a tanur that's mekabel tuma that is a kli, and the other part is being held up by one that isn't, which adds a completely different dimension. So this is now already whether a siyua in support is considered to be enough to be mevatel the din of the ohel. That's just so, it is so cute. It's so perfect. If you have both of the above tanurim under it, oh man, absolutely ingenious. Okay. Now, as far as the question of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is concerned, the idea over here is that the area of the board extends not completely around the tanur, but rather on three sides of the tanur. So it goes to three of the sides, and there, af al pikein, we're still saying that it's enough. The difference would be even where tum'ah b'nehem, him t'meim, even though, according to the Rambam, if it were just sticking out on the two ends, it would definitely not be one area. So you might think that according to the Rambam, it has to extend over all four sides, and then we see the whole thing as being one. Kamash malan, as long as it's not mufsak by the tanur completely. There's a tanur on one side, a tanur on the other side, and it extends, the edge extends outwards on one of the sides besides the other two ends, but not on the other side. It's still considered to be one ohel, and it will be metame, even the tanur itself. That this is the way luchor, I mean, it doesn't say so, but it's certainly the way the Mefarshim, utilizing the grow, are masbir, the final chiddush, and therefore it's adding a tremendous amount. And this, if you take a look at the Rambam, which is so unclear, this is mamish meir einayim into how to understand what the Rambam is saying. So according to him, it has nothing to do with the status of the oven as being a kli or not being a kli, and has only to do with how it is that we measure a single oil as opposed to a broken up oil. And by the way, this has been part of the theme that we've been dealing with until now. And it makes a great deal of sense that the opening of the 12th parak should be continuing that type of issue that the 11th parak was talking about, and then move on to the next Mishnah.